Deuteronomy chapter 4. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has a God so near? That's where I'm going, and that's where I've been going into for the last few weeks, emphasizing the fact that we have a God who is so near, right, to us. He said, as is the Lord our God, whenever we call on him. All right, that's where I just want to read. The fact that our God is very near, he's not abstract, okay? He's not somebody that we need an intermediary to get to. Jesus is not even just our intermediary. Let me explain that. Jesus doesn't stand between us and God. You know what he does? He introduces us to the Father. In fact, he told the disciples at the point in time, ask directly. I'm not even telling you I will ask the Father for you. He said, I'm convinced that the Father himself loves you. Do you follow the point? So you can go straight, and the Bible says that we can approach to the throne of grace directly anytime we need help, and we'll find mercy and grace for that help. The Bible says in the time of need. That's Hebrews chapter 4. Now, so that's what I wanted us to understand, that our God is near. Christianity is a tangible thing, you know. Please, you know, you can't say this thing enough. You want to say it until people have it very solidly in their hearts. The way it is that Christianity is not within a church. It is where? Outside. You only go to church to learn the ways of God, to be tutored in the way God wants you to walk. When you are walking, the life that is in you, that has been imparted into you by the Lord Jesus Christ, will produce things outwardly. Jesus indeed is the light of the world, and we are the light bearers. Do you follow what I mean? We carry the light that Jesus is to the world, and we take him into church. Is that so? No, we take him into the world. Do you follow my point? You get rekindled, refired, all right, in church. You know, Paul was writing to Timothy. He said that stir up the gift, all right, of God that is in thee by the laying on of hands. That word, stir up, what it means, the literal, in fact, if you read some scriptures, that's the way it says in the Greek. It says rekindle. Do you understand my point? Sometimes it's as if the light is dying out. Why you go into church is that you get refired. Do you follow my point? The breeze of the Holy Spirit is blown upon the gift of God that is in you, and if you know the fire flares up again, and then you can go out and shine brighter, all right, to affect your generation. Now that's the point we are trying to make, that Christianity is not just about which church do you go to? You talk to people, they like to brag on their religion. This is the church I attend. Listen, that is arrant nonsense. The church you attend is not important at all. As much as a life that you have contacted and you emit everywhere you go. You follow what I'm trying to say? All right. You know, believe me, when you get to heaven, there's no attendant register. How many times did you go to church? Hey, you come. How many times did you go to church? Not even how many times did you go for Bible study. How many times did you go for teachings? How many times did you listen to a tape? Nobody asks. Those things are given to us, all right, so that we'll be able to develop the life that is in us. You're getting the point? And then we can affect our generations for Christ Jesus. You must understand that point. That's what it's about. So what we are saying here, he said our God is close. He's so near to us, and there is no other God that is like him. Now, that's just to remind us of what we have been saying. Again, quickly, let's go back to that Ezekiel chapter 14. All right, from verse 7, it says, for anyone of the house of Israel or of the immigrants who stay in Israel, who separates himself from me, sets up his idols in his heart, puts right before his face the stumbling block of his iniquity, and then comes to the prophet to inquire of me, that is the Lord, for himself. He said, I, the Lord, will be brought to answer him in my own person, and I shall set my face against that man and make him a sign and a proverb, and I shall cut him off from among my people, so you will know that I am the Lord. Why did I read this? We've read it several times before. I want to just remind us of the fact that what God was saying is that people can come here and inquire, all right? He said, if any man separates himself and then comes to inquire of me for himself. What God was saying is that before a man can come to inquire, that is, the people are allowed to come and inquire. Are you getting the logic there? That you can inquire. It's allowed. It's just that before you come, certain things must be properly set in arrangement. You must have removed the idols, he said, from your heart. And you must have, first of all, rejoined yourself to the Lord. And you remove your idols from your heart and remove from you before your face the stumbling block of your iniquity. And then you can have the confidence to come to the prophet to inquire of the Lord. Do you understand my point? And you see, without we're belaboring the point. I'm sure we all know about it. How did Saul first encounter Samuel? After his father's animals got missing, he said, is there no seer? All right. Is there no prophet around here? Is there no seer that we can inquire of? And then they went and Samuel already had a message from God waiting for him. If you go and read the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30, don't bother opening to it, but you can find the story there. It's a story that happened at, I think it was Ziklag, all right? Now, you see that David inquired of the Lord here. By the time they came back to Ziklag, after they had gone for battle, by the time he came back, some people had raided their settlement. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And then he said to him, that is, the Lord said to him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall rescue all. That's just what I want to bring out there. The man went to God to inquire. There is something that we have studied before when we are talking about this issue of inquiring of the Lord. And what I just want to emphasize for us is the fact that we can inquire of God. We have been establishing something along the line. You know, it will appear as if you are saying that God doesn't talk to people. You know, I have never said that. You know that the point. I mean, I have never said that. What I have always said is that people claim God spoke to them on things that we know God didn't speak to them about. And that most of the day, let me just tell you as a matter of fact, an average day, God does not expect to come inquiring of the Lord. An average week, you probably will not have to do that. But most people, in a whole month, you may not have to recourse to that action. No, that is, you just find out that most of the things that come across your way, you have been developed enough spiritually to handle them. And one of the things I have found out, I'm sorry to say this, but let me say it again. Was it I said last time that I'm always very, very suspicious of women who pray too much and they see visions? I'm always very suspicious. No, really. Now, it's not women, everybody. Just like it's commoner amongst women. It's commoner. If I'm discussing with somebody and he can't talk straight to me, somebody's telling me what God told him to do, I easily lose interest. And it's not because I don't like to hear God. It's because, you know, you don't want us to talk intelligently. Do you follow what I'm going to say? Yes, you are boxing me into a corner. You don't want me to reason. And most of the, look, this is, I have enough experience in life. Listen, as I studied the word of God, like life depends on it since 1987. It's not today. So for 21 years, all right, I've been doing this thing. And I've seen all kinds of people. You can't talk intelligent to people. They say, this is what God, my spirit has been telling me. God has been telling me, oh God, oh please, do you mind dropping this thing? Let us talk like children of God, you know. We use our spiritual reasoning. We can come to agreement on how to, and that's how we actually discover the will of God. A lot of time I interact with people, and they tell me that what God has been teaching them recently. I said, the reason why God is teaching you that recently by prayer and meditation is because you refuse to read a simple Bible or a simple book. I could have taught you that 6 years ago. Now, what's the point I'm going to make? I'm going to say that a lot of people who depend on let me check my spirit, is laziness. They think it is spirituality. It's actually laziness and impatience. You're not ready to settle down and learn. Jesus said, take my yoke upon thee. How? By learning of me. You have to learn. Not this crisis here, God, every time. I'm tired. You must understand the way God works. You must understand the principles of the kingdom. You get my point? You must understand how things work with God. It's not every time before you make... Look, listen, you leave those hearing God things, you know what I'm going to say, to crucial decisions in which there is no other way to arrive at them but by supernatural manifestation. Let me not go over that again. We've said that, you know, a lot. Let me just summarize it. As a child of God, continual spiritual development by the entrance of the word of God is your responsibility. Do you follow my point? You are not supposed to pick up your Bible when you want to make decisions. No. You are supposed to read it all the time, even whether you have to make decisions or not. Do you follow my point? It's not a Bible is not a crisis moment instrument. Do you follow what I'm saying? It's like food. Do I eat because I want to run? There's a race coming. Click, please, get me bread. Put egg inside. A big cup of Milo. There's a race coming. No. You wake up in the morning. The usual thing is what? A breakfast. You can eat your bread that time. You come back late in the evening. You eat one whole mound of rice and, you know, and your soul rejoices in the Lord. And then you cross your leg. Nothing. In fact, the only plan you have for that evening is to watch TV. Yet you eat. Are you getting my point? Why? It's part of life. That's how you continually remain healthy. That's how you continually develop. That's how the word of God is. People sometimes say that, look, what you are preaching right now, I don't need it now. Your head needs to be checked by an angel of God. How can you say that kind of thing? What you are preaching now, I don't need it now. The day you need it, it's already too late to start trying to learn it. I don't know. You get my point. The day you need it is the wrong time to start trying to learn it. You know, that, look, in fact, Smith Wigglesworth, either Smith Wigglesworth or E.W. Kenyon said like this. He said, if you wait till you need faith, before you start trying to get it, you waited too late. You follow the point? No, it's not the day you need something. That's why, like my pastor will say, as Pastor Ed will say in church all the time, this thing we are discussing, you may say, I don't have children yet. He said, you should learn it before you have children. Let me tell you, this is how to choose a life partner. If it's when brothers are already queuing at your doorsteps to say, please now. That's when you start saying, okay, Pastor Banky preached on marriage. Please, where's the CD? You're making life difficult. Now, that's not what Christianity is about. You're supposed to constantly, do you follow the point? Constantly, constantly feed upon God's word. And then when you have to make decisions, let me tell you something. There is a problem you have a lot of times when you start relying. Please, I'm going to get into my message for today, all right? When you start relying on God told me, all right? When you have to make intelligent decisions, you are suddenly in a crossroad. You understand? You have opened your mouth, all right? You are suddenly in a fix. You've said it several times. This is what God said I should do. God said, God told me, God said. By the time you say it a number of times, when you now want to do the opposite, you say, who told me that time? Do you follow the point? I've had many people tell me, God said I should marry this person. Then one day they came and said, no, God, I've changed my mind. I won't remind them that they told me it was God before. I won't just remind them. Why embarrass the man? It's bad enough as things are. Now, having said all of this, it's just to bring a balance to our hearts. We are not saying God doesn't speak to people. Do you understand that? We are not saying that. We are saying that that's not what he's trying to get us to, you know, walk by. He wants us to learn of him, know the ways of God. And then, like James said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. That's when the man now really needs all those special manifestations. I know we've discussed this one before. I just want us to recollect these things to mind. James now said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Now, I said wisdom, all right, is the ability to use information, all right, or knowledge to make effective, let me use new words now, decisions. Do you understand my point? All right, it's like they tell you that technology is the ability to use scientific knowledge to improve life for people. You may discover that if electricity passes through a coil and there's a magnet around, there's movement, Fleming's right-hand rule or left-hand rule or head rule, whichever rule of Fleming you apply. Eh? So, that is science. But what is technology? You use Fleming's left-hand rule and you make a ceiling fan, a standing fan. Therefore, because of your knowledge of Fleming's left-foot rule, I have a fan that keeps me cool in this kind of hot environment. Do you follow the point? Then you have used your science to affect our lives. So we call that what? Technology. That's the meaning of the word technology. Is that okay? Now, wisdom is technology. Knowledge is what? Science. You understand that? So if you know the ways of God, that is knowledge. But then when you are able to apply it to certain situations, when you have to make decisions, then that is what? Wisdom. Sometimes you lack that wisdom. Then you go and what? You pray. God expects that when you don't know what to do or you want to make crucial decisions, you follow? And you just want to be absolutely certain about them. Then you go and pray and you ask God for wisdom. It is okay at that time to ask God to speak. Now, don't forget that word speak. We need to explain it again. And that's what I said last time. How does God speak to people? There are different ways. I divided it into two types, right? The natural ways and the supernatural ways. When we say natural ways, a lot of crucial decisions I've made in life have been based upon counsel from friends. Listen, I told you before, advice is not an instruction. I have the right to refuse your advice. And it doesn't make me a bad person. Stop saying that this guy doesn't listen to advice. Not listening is what the problem is. All right? Heed instruction. You don't heed advice. What's your problem? The Bible said, heed instruction. What you're supposed to heed is what? instruction. Instruction is not something that is left to you to decide upon. It's given to you to obey. Advice is different. All right? That's why the Bible talks about multitude of counselors. I'm bringing out something. The advice doesn't make any meaning except the heart is in the correct place. That's what I want to explain. Advice is different from instruction. If I give you counsel, you can drop it. Your ability to receive my counsel depends on where your heart was before then. People talk about mentors and mentors in life. One of the things about mentors is that they give you advice which almost doubles like as instructions. The man is not running your life. But the advice is so strong, it's almost like an instruction. But generally, when people advise you, you can't drop the advice. You can pick it up. That's why the training of your own heart before that time is important. Most people that advise you, they bring to your mind something you knew before that you've already forgotten. That's what the Bible means when you use the word admonishing. If you admonish somebody, you are not teaching him anything new. It's something that he knew, all right, that you are reminding him to use at that particular point in time. Then you say you are admonishing the person. I hope you are getting the point. All right, that's what advice is, okay? Now, so I said that's one way. So when you have a good heart and you relate with the right people, the good man, the light in the law of the Lord, he doesn't walk in certain places, sit in certain places, or move in certain crowds. If all your friends are wife beaters and wife divorcers, before you marry, shelve them. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, don't keep company with people you don't want to be like. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Englishman said it, show me your friends. I will tell you the kind of person that you are. Let me add Pastor Banky's wisdom to it, or the kind of person you're about to become. You may not be like that right now. You'll just keep moving. After a while, listen, evil communication corrupts good manners. The modern expression is bad company. Do you follow me? So you want good advice? You know the people ahead of time. You know, there are people you know. I said, don't let me go by that message again. If you're not here, go and listen to it. Don't let me go. But the point I want to say is that you know where to get good advice. You know it. You know, you don't. When you go and listen to bad advice, you wanted it. Don't blame anybody. You and your wife get quarrel. You have a friend. In fact, to see him, you have to meet him somewhere, one beer parlor at 10 p.m. His wife and children at home. You should know that you are begging for bad advice. If he had good advice for you, you would have gone to his house. He would have told his wife, excuse me, please, let me talk with my friend. They will give you good advice. But the guy that's outside, smoking, they say, oh, what? What did she do? Tell me now. Meanwhile, they look time. It's 10:30 p.m. He never go house. No, take that kind, you know. If not, maybe. Now you beg for bad advice. Now, we preached that one last week. I said beyond that, okay? Another way we said is what? Instructions from people in authority. Okay? That one is not advice. Even if the man in authority gives you advice, accept it as instruction until proved otherwise. Is that okay? We explained that one. Now, these are all some of the natural. Don't forget the first one we mentioned is new information and new understanding. When God supplies new information, he knows you have enough wisdom to handle it. Just like you didn't have enough, information to make that decision. So just gives you new information. You follow what I'm saying? Let me give a very good example to interest you. In fact, I'll come back to that, about Kenneth Hagin and marrying wife. God gave him new information, but the information came by supernatural means. You follow my point? Now, he needed to make a decision concerning who to marry. Now, nice girl. God just said, wait, let me show you something. Then he had a vision, and he saw another side of the girl. God didn't say, don't marry. He just saw the other side of the girl, and he knew that this wouldn't work. But that knowledge came by what? A vision, by a supernatural means, all right? So that's where we ended talking about the natural ways by which God speaks to people. And I want to continue that one today. That is the issue of God speaking to people. Here we have established the fact that most importantly is what? Understanding of God, the ways of God. Listen, God, you know what they call deputy? Not a deputy. You know what's an assistant? An assistant assists you. A deputy takes your place when you're not around. An assistant, you issue him instructions. You tell him what to do. A deputy is not like that. A deputy is, when you are not on seat, he's in charge. You follow what I'm saying? Now, what God wants is that we become what? His deputies. able to handle. That's why Paul will tell you that I don't have a direct commandment, but I have the Spirit of God. Let me tell you my opinion and take it for granted the guy is right. You follow what I'm saying? Let me tell you again. You know, I hope, I pray that we will understand the person of Christ Jesus properly and will relate with Christianity better. A lot of things he used to teach, they were not things that, oh, how do I say it? It wasn't like, oh, I pray and then God gives me instructions and then I go and repeat it in teachings. No. They will come to Jesus and say something. He will tell you, wait, relax. You have heard. All right? Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I tell you, that's how I used to say it. You have heard, that's quoting Moses. But I am telling you, I understand better than Moses. Moses copied instructions and gave them to you. I know the spirit behind the instructions. Therefore, if you tell me what Moses said, I will tell you why he said it. And I'll tell you why I can give you another instruction now. I never go below Moses' standards. I only go beyond and above them. Are you guys what I'm saying? So he will say that, Moses said we could divorce our wives. He said, let me tell you, it was not so at the beginning. This is how it was. The plan of God at the beginning is this. Male and female, he created them. Therefore, a man shall leave his wife, his father and mother, and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And whatever God joins together, no man, not even Moses, can effectively put asunder. I'm trying to explain something. He was what? God's deputy on the earth. If you remember, we taught this series then, School of Bible Exegesis, about 2 years ago, that's what we call equality with God. It doesn't mean that Jesus, while he was on earth, could create another Jupiter. It wasn't necessary. It was outside the scope of his existence at that particular point in time. But that you can tell him laws and he say, that's inferior to God's standard. Let me tell you God's opinion. And he's not praying about it at that particular point in time. He just had discovered the mind. You know the meaning of the word mind? The reasoning, the way God thinks, his perspective to things, the angle he comes from. Therefore, he will tell you, you have heard, but I tell you. They say, that shall not murder. I said, that is true. But let me tell you something. The thing behind that is that if a man hates his brother without cause in his heart, he's already a murderer. And that's where we are going as believers. That's why, oh God, I'll get back to my message. I just need to emphasize this. God said that I will write my laws upon their hearts. That's what he meant. That is, they will know me so well that when an issue comes up, most of the time people come asking you for counsel if you are developed spiritually. They finish telling the story, just smile and say, don't worry about this. This is what will happen here. This one. No, this is how, what God expects. There's no commandment. You have never encountered that situation before. But knowing the mind of God, and I want us to understand, that's where God wants us to grow to. The most spiritual man asks God fewer questions. You know, the impression we have is that if somebody says, oh, have you come? Wait, let me go and pray. And then as I was praying, there's usually, you think he's the most spiritual person. The most spiritual person, that's not the finish, is that it? Ah, that one is a small thing now. Having understood the mind of God before then, I just want to emphasize that again. Now, of course, we are human beings. A time will come in which the mind of God, or let me say, yes, the wisdom of God for that moment is beyond your current capabilities. So you go and pray. And we're discussing how God now answers. You remember that, all right? So we settled the issue of the natural ways. And I said, when we go beyond the natural ways, then God uses supernatural methods. What did I say? Supernatural methods. First, let me give you something about why God does things that are supernatural. Now, God is not a human being. For information, he doesn't like to show off. That's what I'm trying to explain. Show off is not his character. You know, if I show off, what God could do simply, you will do it in the big way. Are you getting what I'm saying? God doesn't give visions except visions are necessary. Let me ask you a simple question. No matter how spiritual you are, how many times have you had a dream concerning what you should eat for breakfast? Think about it. You know why? God understands that most people know what to eat for breakfast. It's not, so it doesn't bother. Are you getting my point? But peradventure, you haven't eaten for 2 days and you don't know where food will come from next morning. You might dream and an angel will come and say, my son, the Lord said, I should tell you, do not worry. Tomorrow morning there shall be bread. Why? Because you are losing hope. So he came to give your heart encouragement. I'm bringing out something. God doesn't use supernatural means of communicating except there's a reason. And I'll give you a number of reasons. Now, spiritual hearing, I've said before, is not just about the ability to communicate spiritually. What I'm trying to say is that I have ears. You speak, I can hear you. All right? And I will know you spoke. I may not know what you said, all right? But I will be able to say, he said this and said this and said that. But spiritually, if I am not able to perceive what you are saying, I don't even hear you at all. I don't know whether you get my point. If your utterance won't make meaning to me, I won't hear it. That's why the Bible uses the word hear in an interesting fashion. It says, if we pray according to his will, he hears. Now, if we pray outside his will, does it become deaf? Because whether he knows, but God knows I was praying. It's outside his will, so it's not even registering. So the Bible doesn't say he hears, all right? And I told you that in the Hebrew, all right, you've heard the word, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The word hearken diligently, literally in Hebrew, is thou shalt hear hearing. Thou shalt listen listening. That's the literal meaning. They didn't say thou shalt obey. The Hebrew expression is that thou shalt listen listening, or thou shalt hear hearing. That is, the ability to perceive is what he emphasizes. And he equates that with action. Do you understand my point? That is, that which you don't act upon is because it has not yet registered inside the heart. What am I trying to explain? Sometimes God wants to communicate his will. And all these natural methods, none of them is going to work. Because sometimes his will is so outrageous. What did I say? Outrageous. For example, you engage to get married. Very nice girl. Then one day she appears. He said, what's in your stomach? So you chop? He said, no, I forgot to tell you. It's an angel. One angel, Gabriel, came and said, I shall conceive. So you are pregnant? Yes. He's an angel. Now listen to me. Then, even now that you have read Bible story, you still won't agree. Even now that you read Bible story, you won't agree. What kind of joke is that? Does she think I'm a fool? Yes, does she think I'm a fool? All that nonsense. The girls of these days, because you don't know anymore. There's no teaching you want to give Joseph. In fact, it's good enough that Joseph was a quiet guy. That was the best Joseph could offer God. I won't disgrace her, believe me. I won't let them stone her to death. But me, Mary, do I look like a fool? You must think I'm an idiot. I mean, if I... Number one, you've gone somewhere to go and borrow pregnancy. That's bad enough. You now want to explain to me that it's the Holy Spirit. You know, that one is a worse insult. Therefore, you can't settle that one except that angel appears in a dream. You can't. There's no other way. There's no other way. I mean, I like one. There was a play when I was in secondary school. The Joseph in the play woke up and said, Holy Spirit, please wait. We have to finish this discussion. This one that you're appearing to me in a dream is not good enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's when God begins to use supernatural methods. When the natural methods wouldn't work. Now that I've already mentioned that. So one of the supernatural methods is what? Dreams. Under supernatural methods, and another example, just to use that one to explain why God uses supernatural methods. If you know what you talk about racism and discrimination. The Jew was commanded by God to be racist. See, other people they just have some funny reason for being racist. The Jew, the Israelite, was commanded by God to be racist. Marriage, if it's not from your place, no, don't agree. It was a commandment. There's a way you treat people who are from your nation, those who are not. It's inside their blood. Now, forget the human tendency to be proud. God gave the Jew the reason to be proud. We read the scripture here. He said, which nation around you has a God that's so close? So if a non-Israelite comes, say, you, shh, come here. Stand there. Is your God close? What's the name of when last did they answer you? They have eyes. You take and sing now, you know. They have eyes. They can't see. They have ears, they can't hear. They have mouth, they can't talk. Gentile. When David saw Goliath, he was angry. He wasn't just like him. He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? No, it was like, human being, they talk. This one, Philistine. You know, he was, disdained the guy. Look at he was so full of the difference between the Israelites and the Philistine that he forgot to notice the height. He said, who's that one talking? Uncircumcised Philistine. His God is not close. When he calls, the God doesn't answer. Ha! Now, that's that kind of attitude. So, go to a Gentile house, they won't go. Chop food that Gentile prepared, the guy is good, they look at with suspicion. Then one day, he now told Peter, go and preach to the house of Cornelius. You're joking. You hear what I said? You are joking. Even when Jesus was around, when they said go and preach, Jesus used to tell them, don't go near. Even though Jesus commanded them, God, you shall preach to the ends of the world. It wasn't real yet. Peter just sat squarely in Jerusalem. Go and preach to Cornelius. Youth, listen. There's no scripture you wanted to explain to Peter to get up and across to him. God had to appear. In fact, believe me, God made sure he was really hungry. It wasn't even preparing food. That God now showed him food. The vision was carefully designed to get his attention. I told that story to let you understand his mindset. Do you follow my point? That's his mindset. It was hard. The only way Peter could do it was when God appeared by a supernatural means of communication. The man suddenly fell into a trance. He saw a great sheet descending from heaven, and on it all kinds of animals, which he knew were unclean. By the laws of Moses, he's not allowed to touch. Then God said, arise, kill and eat. And he said, no, I can't. He said, what God has cleansed, you must never call unclean. We know they were unclean at a time, but we are saying now that by the power of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, they have now been cleansed. So don't ever call them unclean. And he was still meditating. What could this vision mean? After there's no food of unclean animals around. Then they told him, some Gentiles are looking for you. Let me tell you something. I don't want to waste our time reading it, but you know where it is, all right? Now, when he came back from preaching to the house of Cornelius, you know he had to explain himself. The brethren were wondering, this kind of backsliding, the Lord had just left a few days ago. Peter has already backslided. That is to convince them. He had to tell the story. Beyond the story, he went to the house of Cornelius and Cornelius had to tell him his own story. And God now joined the story by pouring forth in all this one that, open your mouth, begin to talk. It's language you come out of your mouth. It's when anointing is not yet present. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Now. Stand like this. Put around your right hand. Just wait. Is any voice coming out inside you? Anointing never come. He has not yet arrived. While he was still preaching, the Holy Spirit fell upon the house of Cornelius. They now said, well, why don't you just baptize them too? Now, you are getting what I'm trying to say. God had to use such difficult methods to persuade this man. Listen, after all of this, you think he's fully persuaded? You don't know the heart of man if you think the guy is fully persuaded. He wasn't fully persuaded. After all of this, he got back home. Brethren challenged him. And not all of them believe that story. You want me to prove it? I don't have time to read the scripture. Go and read the book of Galatians. One day, Peter went somewhere with Peter and Paul and Co. And all the brethren, Jews and Gentiles, were gathered. Paul and Peter amongst them. And they were eating. And some Jewish brethren came from Jerusalem. And when Peter saw them, he suddenly lost appetite. The church, I want to go and pray. He suddenly lost appetite. Why? Because some brethren from Jerusalem appeared. And he didn't want it to be heard that Peter was eating, with brethren. These were believers, but they were not Jews. You are getting what I'm making. Therefore, supernatural manifestations will reduce in frequency when people increase in understanding. Listen, the ability to see supernatural things does not in any way indicate your spirituality. A lot of people, while they were yet unbelievers, God met them by supernatural means. Because that was the only way to communicate with them. Do you follow what I'm trying to say? That is, as they will increase in understanding, then those interesting manifestations will probably reduce in frequency. And there is a reason why you find people like prophets having such manifestations often. It's because of their ministry. Are you getting my point? There is no learning I want to know. I want to have to tell me what's going on inside your house at night. I want to know it. But if I were a prophet and God needs to address something that happens where nobody else is present, then suddenly I have a vision and I have a word of knowledge. But for everyday walking, for God trying to pass things across to an average person, he doesn't need that most of the time. But then he will use it when it is necessary. That's the point I'm making. I was trying to explain the reason why it becomes necessary. That's why I gave the example of Joseph. And I gave, number one, we said therefore our dreams, all right? Then we said visions, trances. You know what a trance is? Well, I'll give you the definition of, I studied from other people. It says a situation in which it's like you're having a vision, all right? You are not asleep. You may or may not fall down. But suddenly, your natural environment kind of vanishes. And you start seeing another realm of stuff. That's a trance. Very closely related to what a vision is. I'll give you what they mean by it. But at least now you've understood what I mean when I say God uses those things when it becomes utterly necessary. And he doesn't just fool around with them. Do you get what I'm going to say? This is what I believe. One of the commonest supernatural ways by which God speaks to people is through dreams. Job chapter 34. Now here, Eli, who obviously had great understanding of the things of God, was explaining the different methods by which God speaks to people. From verse 13, he said, why do you complain against him that he does not give an account of all his doings? He said in 14, indeed God speaks once or twice, yet no one notices it. He said, in a dream. What's a dream? A vision of the night when sound sleep falls on men. While they slumber in their beds, he said, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. Eli was saying, therefore, that it's very common, all right, for God to speak through dreams. And virtually everybody that's an adult has had a dream at one point or the other that instructed them in a proper way to do things. Really. There are all kinds of dreams. I always say, this is from my personal experience. I don't dream so much these days. There was a time I used to dream a lot. When I say a lot, I made all kinds of crazy dreams. When I was young, I remember the day I dreamt I was driving. I was very excited that I dreamt that I was driving. And I wanted to drive so much and nobody would agree for me to drive. Of course, I was a little child. Then one day I dreamt that I was driving and I was excited. You have dreamt all those kind of dreams that you wonder whether you are normal yourself, you know. You just dreamed that as you were about to go out, then Lagos was just around the corner. As you came out of your street, you entered Lagos, and from Lagos you just found yourself in Abuja, you just were in London, and then you woke up, nothing. Not those kind of rubbish dreams. All those kind of waste of time dreams, all right? In fact, and Hagin will say that if as soon as you wake up from a dream, you don't understand what it means, forget it, it has no meaning. And I don't know about you, but I used to be like that. Some people say they don't dream. I mean, no, I used to dream a lot. And this day, I think once in a while, when I say dream, you know, you watch too many movies, you start dreaming of Jackie Chan, you know, those kind of things. But then, occasionally, serious dreams appear. Personally, one of the most important dreams I've dreamt in life, was while I was 7. As soon as I woke up, I knew it had meaning. I knew what the meaning was. Maybe not the full meaning, but I had an idea. And as years passed and those things began to manifest, they had to do with direction for ministry for me as a person. It was while I was 7, all right? Let me give a few of you. I mean, I have told the story before. If you've heard me long enough, probably I've heard the story. But what happened was, now, I started preaching while I was on campus. I gave my first public message in a birthday party sometime around 1989, thereabout. You follow that? It's been a while. I led a campus fellowship and I preached a lot while I was on campus. When I was doing my house job, that was 1990, end of 91 into 92, I taught extensively. I did that extensively. I mean, my name, Pastor Banky, the way it is it became a name now. It was dashed to me by my friends on campus. I didn't invent it. It was a nickname on campus. You follow what I'm saying? So you assume naturally, as soon as I leave school, finish youth service maybe, just dive straight on into ministry. And it made sense. I mean, I should have done that. And I actually thought it would happen.